Song, I picked that song, and that song is like a breathing exercise as well, isn't it? I always have to, right before we get to the In Excelsis Deo, I have to be like, all right, big breath, and then go for it. But it sounds so good when we do that. So there's your breathing exercise for today. But I love that song, and such a neat part of that song as well. I enjoy hearing kids' perspectives on things. I was just teaching in the preteen Sabbath school today, and I love asking kids questions about what their take is on different stories in the Bible. A lot of times, kids will see something from a completely different perspective than adults do. And I know all of us were kids at one point, but as we grow older, the way we think about things changes a little bit. The way we view things changes a little bit. And I just really get a kick sometimes out of hearing kids' perspectives. And we have a short video that I'd like to share with you that just shows a little bit of the perspective of kids at Christmas time. And so it's narrated by kids, and it's acted out by adults. And so I hope you enjoy this. This is a perspective of Christmas from kids.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry. And then the angel just appeared and she was really scared.
So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, I can't say it good. Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager and I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is King of the Jews.
The angel we're singing.
Glorious. And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes. Maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
I love hearing kids' perspectives on things because you never know what you're gonna hear. You never know what you're gonna hear. Thank you. I love the last part. You're the best baby in the whole world. There, I said it. The kids' perspectives on things are very interesting. The things that they hear Because, you know, you remember growing up as a kid, maybe you heard all these stories and you hear different things. Little kids, when they hear Franken, lots of times the end of the word is Stein instead of sense. And you saw, I don't know if you caught the little Frankenstein doll in there, because the kid's like, yeah, it's gold and Frankenstein and myrrh, something like that. Kids just hear all kinds of different things. But when it all comes back down, the details, a lot of the times the details when you're younger get mixed up. But we're going to look today in the Bible and see it another piece of this story and maybe clear up a couple of these details for some of the kids as well. And we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And we're going to be looking at a couple of people. We don't know how many in this story, because they are very important into this whole story. And I believe that these shepherds that we're going to be looking at today are role models for us, that we should be following in their footsteps just like and do what they did. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night." Where does it say they were living? Were they living in a nice home? No. Were they living in a castle? No. Were they living in a palace? No. Were they living in tents? Maybe not even tents. It says they were living out in the fields. Now, I like camping. Camping is a lot of fun. I don't know that I would like to full-time camp, though. That sounds like it might be a little bit too much for me, but these were full-time campers. They lived out in these fields and watched over these flocks, it says, by night. Now, why did they have to keep watch over their flocks by night? What lived out in these hills? Anybody remember stories about these hills? Because it was exactly these hills where these stories happened. Do you remember the story of David? When he was out doing the same thing that these shepherds were doing, watching his flocks, what came up and tried to eat his flocks? Anybody remember? A lion and what else? A bear. Okay, so these are two pretty intimidating creatures, aren't they? Now, we're not talking mountain lion, which is scary enough. I've seen a mountain lion out in the woods before, and I like to keep my distance from mountain lions. And mountain lions usually keep their distance from humans most of the time, but they're pretty small. I mean, 120 pounds, maybe 130, 40 pounds if it's a big mountain lion. We're not talking mountain lions here, though. In Israel, they don't have them there anymore. They're extinct in that part of the world. But in Israel and in that whole Middle East area, they used to have full-size African-style lions living in that area. If you go back and look in some of the museums, you'll see, if you go to the Louvre, they have all kinds of reliefs of the Assyrian lion hunts where the kings would go out and they would kill like 120 lions at a time. There must have been a lot of lions out there. And I think they didn't feel too bad about it because they didn't have PETA back then they were eating these things and they were protecting themselves from these lions because of what happened to David. It was sort of a survival thing. Now we're like, oh man, let's leave the lions alone. They make it in the news all the time. It's kind of a sad thing. Back then they did it for hunting, for sport a lot, and to protect themselves, because the less of those things that can eat you out there, the better. And so you can see all kinds of history of lion hunts and lions, African-style lions, all over the Middle East. And in these very same hills are where these shepherds were, where David would be watching over his flocks. Now bears, let's talk about bears for a second. I'm okay with black bears. I don't mind hiking in the Colorado mountains. Black bears, okay. Grizzly bears, not so much. I don't trust a grizzly bear any farther than I can throw it. They're unpredictable, but even sometimes here in Colorado, we have people that get attacked by bears. Bears are pretty intimidating, very strong, and that's what's wandering around in these hills. So these shepherds have to be watching their sheep at night as well as in the daytime because something is always trying to go after and kill their sheep. But one thing about shepherds, these shepherds are very protective of their sheep. They will get in between a roaring lion and their sheep to save that sheep because that sheep means so much to that shepherd. David stepped in between a bear and a lion to save those sheep. Those sheep meant everything. And they would lay down their life for that sheep. Does that remind you of any other comparisons in the Bible? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? We, like sheep, have scattered and gone astray? And yet the shepherd stands in between the roaring lion and us, the sheep, to save us. Isn't that cool? That's the kind of God we serve, who's willing to take on roaring lions for us sheep. This happened right here. This was the life of these shepherds. They're out in the sheep, it says, watching their flocks by night. Now, I have to imagine that there's a campfire there. I love campfires. I love sitting around campfires, and whether I'm talking or being quiet, it doesn't matter. I just love campfires. Some of the deepest conversations I've ever had have been around a campfire. Some of the greatest time, just quiet time, me and God, around a campfire. I love campfires. And I have to imagine that while they're out there at night, it gets kind of cold at night, and so there had to have been a fire there, and they're sitting around this fire. Now, what are these guys doing sitting around a fire? What are they talking about? What are these guys doing? In the book Desire of Ages, the story of Jesus, on page 47, it says, "Through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior and prayed for the coming of the King to David's throne." What was it they're sitting there talking about around this fire as they're out there in the hills just outside of the city with their sheep? What are they talking about? No doubt, if they're talking about this, these shepherds had to have been reading the scriptures, or at least hearing people teach the scriptures about the coming Messiah. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago about the prophecies about the Messiah coming, even the specific timing. We know that they were expecting the Messiah right then. The timing was right. The fullness of time is what the Bible says. Everyone was expecting the Messiah. Some were expecting something different. Some were expecting a king to be born in a palace. These shepherds were just waiting for God to send the Messiah, whoever he was. And this was the topic of their conversation. They were sitting there talking, wishing, hoping that the Messiah would be coming soon. What was life like for these shepherds, though? They lived in the fields. Are there a lot of showers in the outdoors? Is Israel a super lush place with lots of waterfalls? Not a lot. I mean, I'm sure there was the occasional spring where they went and took a bath, but probably didn't happen all that often. They lived outside. The work they did touching these animals and things kept them ceremonially unclean. And in order for them to go through the purification process, it was a 7-day purification process, and who has time to take that much time off of work in order to go in and do what you need to do? So they were pretty much, most of the time, ceremonially unclean. They were looked down on by the priests and most of the people. In the social ladder, the shepherds were somewhere down near the bottom. And here they are out at night, watching their sheep. And this is when some really cool stuff starts to happen. In verse 9 of Luke chapter 2, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they, shocking, were greatly afraid." That would probably shake me up a little bit too. I'm out there with a campfire, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up and splits the sky and shows up facing me wanting to talk. A little intimidating, right? And here they all are, and it says that they were afraid, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the angel said to them, verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Do you think in the back of their minds they're thinking, oh man, this is, because what have they just been praying for? What has just come off of their lips? They have been praying for the Messiah. And now they have a heavenly being split the dark sky, appear to them on this hill, and he says, "Hey, don't be afraid. I've got good news for you, shepherds." They must have thought, man, this is the fastest my prayers have ever been answered in my whole life. That just came out of my mouth. There he is. I have good news. I wonder how long it took the process and think, man, this is it. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Here's the crux of his message. It's good news, great joy, and it will be great joy and good news to every person who will ever live, to all people. The message that these angels had for these shepherds was good news for them and good news for me and you. excellent news for everyone. But the angel continues in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." These angels were spending time with God in supplication and prayer, asking for the Messiah to come soon. In Psalm chapter 112, verse 4, it says, "To those who are seeking for light and who accept it with gladness, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine." To those who are seeking for light and who accept it with gladness, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine. And he goes on. He has a sign, because apparently people have been wanting a lot of signs lately. Zacharias, he kind of needed a sign. Mary was like, "Hey, I'd like to know. Can you tell me?" There's a sign. He says, "In addition to this, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, this is kind of a big deal for these shepherds. Because where on the social scale are these shepherds? Kind of down here somewhere, right? How connected are they going to feel to a royal king that shows up out of reach in a palace where they can't go see him? It's going to be a little bit tougher to imagine a closeness there, right? But when the angel's voice comes and says he's going to be in a manger, where are mangers found? Barns, common areas where you keep your animals? Nothing fancy for sure. There's not going to be a manger in a palace, right? And when these shepherds hear this, they must think, wait, the Messiah is kind of like us? It's not like Herod, it's more like us? We can actually go and visit the Messiah right now? This is an accessible Messiah. A Messiah they can approach. That's huge for these shepherds. They can go directly to this Messiah and visit with him. And here's where the senses kind of get a little bit overwhelming here. Because right now, I think it's just one angel. I think it's just one angel, because it says in verse 9, an angel of the Lord showed up. So we've got one angel. One angel that the shepherds can see. But there's a whole lot more angels hanging around here. Where do you think the focus of the whole angel family is at this point in time? Do you think it's over in like Madagascar somewhere? Like Singapore, Thailand? I'm sure there were some over there. But I think most of the angels were like, this is it. What? Look at what's happening here. And here in the Bible it says, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There is so much excitement with the heavenly angels that they just can't take it anymore. They burst through that invisible, visible thing that I can't explain. And there goes from one angel to a whole big crowd of angels bursting forth with joy. Now, I'm a very visual person. I like to imagine a lot of things. When I was a kid, I had a huge imagination. I can imagine the craziest things, which blows my mind when I hear the Bible say that eye hasn't heard or eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard the things that God has in store for us in heaven. Because I've got an awesome imagination. And God says that my imagination is nothing compared to what he has prepared for us. My imagination, I love to imagine what things are like. And so when I think about these shepherds hanging out on this hill, all of a sudden an angel shows up right there, and then there's singing that happens. I like to think, man, what was that like? A couple years ago, I showed you a video, and it's a video of the Air Force band, and they are together with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Now, this is a pretty good group. They're almost as good as our choirs that are going to sing tonight. I figured I'd let them have a break since they're going to be doing this tonight. They're almost as good. They're not bad. But what I want you to do, I'm going to play this video for you just now. And it's their rendition of Joy to the World. And I can't help but thinking about the joy that the angels had as they sang to these shepherds out on this hill, because they see the very beginning of the works of Jesus' salvation to people starting to happen right now. and they're so excited about the potential for you to be in heaven someday that they can't hold back their joy anymore, and they burst forth in song. I want you to just, if you like to imagine things, close your eyes and imagine that you're a shepherd or a shepherdess out on the hills, and the angels are about to sing. Let's play this video and enjoy this song. Imagine that this is maybe what the angels sounded like. I wonder if it sounded something like that out on the hills in Bethlehem. Wouldn't that have been just amazing to be there? Wouldn't that have been incredible? Oh, I can't wait to hear an angel choir and how exciting it must have been then to be a part of that little blip right there and hear the news about the Savior, the Messiah, being born. Now, the angels talk about peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Peace is a hard thing to have, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to have peace in your life. There's so much junk that goes on, so many worries. Sometimes it's hard to have peace in your life. Having peace in your life is the most beautiful thing in the whole world, I think. Hard to get, though. How do we have this peace that the angels talk about? Peace on earth. How can we have peace on earth? How can we have peace in Franktown? How can we have peace in your home? How can you have peace at work? How do we have peace? Once we spend so much time with the author of peace, we will start to reflect that peace in our lives, and we will have that peace that will radiate from us. Like it said here just a moment ago in Psalm 112, to those who are seeking for light, those who accept it with gladness, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine. If we are seeking for light in that area and peace, I believe that God will give us peace in our lives. And then when people see that we have peace in our lives, they're going to want to know how we got that peace. And then we have the opportunity to share with them the one who gave us that peace. See, Jesus is the author of peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." I want to have the peace that these angels talk about in the second chapter of Luke. I want to have that peace that no matter what happens in life, I'm good because I'm with God. Jesus promises to give us peace. This is what the angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven." And I wonder what that was like, because here they are. I'm sure their eyes are wide as saucers. They've never seen or heard anything like this before. And there are all the angels, and then whoosh, the angels are gone. And here they are just like, "What just happened?" Their eyes must, their jaws must have been slack, and there must have been a couple moments of just quiet, like, wow. And they get themselves together, and they said to each other, "Now let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. What was it like for them to lay eyes on baby Jesus for the very first time? To look and to realize who this baby was. They must have been looking for crowds. Why aren't there crowds around here? Why aren't people just thronging to see this baby? We know who this baby is. What was it like to see baby Jesus? Can you imagine seeing baby Jesus? The fulfillment of all these prophecies? The cornerstone of salvation for the whole world right there? What an honor these shepherds had. So what do these shepherds do once they've met Jesus? What do these shepherds do once they realize what is happening right now and how it affects them? What do they do when they've met the Messiah, their Savior? What do? It tells us in the very next verse, in verse 17, "When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child." Did they just mumble it under their breath? Like, "Oh, by the way, I saw this baby the other day." It said they made it widely known. Do you think there were people that they knew that they didn't tell? No way. Not after the day that they've just had. After everything they've seen, there is not one person that they know that doesn't know about this. And they're so excited about it that they're finding people they don't even know to talk about this. And the Bible talks about that in the very next verse, in verse 18. It says, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds." They marveled at the message of Jesus. Friends, today, when we share the message of Jesus, people will still marvel at how it impacts their life, because there are so many people in this world that need Jesus. There are so many hurting people in this world that have no hope, that need to know about Jesus. There are so many people who are buried in guilt because they haven't experienced grace and forgiveness, and those people need to hear about Jesus. We need to be like these shepherds. If we've had an experience with Jesus, if we've experienced salvation, if we've experienced grace and forgiveness, if there's hope in your heart for a better day, it's exciting news what you have to share. And there will be people who are excited to hear you. Of course, there'll be people who are like, "Nah, I'm good. I don't believe it." But there will be people whose lives will be changed because you share Jesus with them, just like these shepherds here. It is awfully exciting to be able to share good news. There's a lady named Nancy Senior. And about 25 years ago, they got some new neighbors. The neighbors, their last name were the Courtney family. And the father, his name was Dave Courtney. They got to become very good friends. They would go boating together. Their families would hang out, the kids. They would go and do all kinds of fun stuff together. They became very close friends. And not long ago, 5 or 6 years ago, Dave Courtney was not feeling well. He went to see the doctor, and the doctor had some bad news for him. He said, "Dave, your kidneys are in rough shape. You really should be a candidate for a kidney transplant." And so, this is some shocking news. And there's a waiting list to get a kidney. And Dave waited for 3 years for a kidney. Had to have a perfect match. He waited for 3 years. Couldn't get a kidney. Desperately needed a kidney. 3 years, no kidney. It got to the point for Dave where they reported, they said he had to be on dialysis 7 days a week all night long, every night. He had to stay on dialysis through the night while he slept or tried to sleep, 7 days a week, in order to keep him alive. Well, he was getting very, very desperate for a kidney donor. And so he kind of kept this quiet. He didn't make this public. He kept it quiet for quite some time. And then finally some of their closer friends found out. So Nancy and her husband went to go get checked to see. They kind of asked some vague questions, and they found out what the requirements were and what would be a match. And a lot of people were kind of doing this. And they went to go get checked to see if either of them were a match. And there were a couple people who they'd found who had come forward and said, I think I'm a match. But then there was so much involved, they're like, look, I can't do it. And so those donors weren't available. And so he's back at the drawing board. Well, Nancy found out that she was a perfect match for Dave to donate a kidney. And so they wanted to, she said, I have to do it. We love their family. I have to do it. I know it's going to involve a whole lot of stuff, but I would like to donate one of my kidneys to Dave. Now, Dave had been waiting for some good news for 3 years, hadn't had any good news. And so ABC got a hold of this story somehow and found out that this was going to happen. I don't know if they tipped him off or whatnot, but one of their morning shows filmed this. And they told Dave and his family that they were going to come and do a special on him because they wanted to raise awareness for kidney donors and the need for kidneys. So he had no idea that good news was coming. And so this TV host comes in there, and the whole family's there. His grown kids are there. He and his wife are there. And he's going through, and he's kind of just having him share his story. And the guy says, you know, we've really wanted to get awareness out for this, and we appreciate you you being willing to open your home and to share your story. And he said, but I've got some good news for you. He says, there's somebody at the front door that I want you to see and talk to right now because they have some very good news for you. He's like, okay. So he goes to the front door, and there's the neighbor. She's waiting outside the front door, and he brings the neighbor in. And he says, Dave, he says, you've got a kidney donor, and it's your neighbor, Nancy. And his eyes, and it's there wasn't a dry eye in the whole studio. Even the studio back in New York City, people are starting to tear up and things. And Dave's face, you can see the emotion in his eyes as tears well up in his eyes, realizing that someone cares enough about him to give him one of their organs. And immediately they embrace and just have this big, big bear hug. And this TV guy is standing there. He's got tears rolling down his cheeks. The whole family is just so emotional, realizing this is going to save their dad's life, their husband's life. And they got to witness this sharing of amazing, joyful news to this family. This lucky news guy got to be a part of sharing the most amazing, life-changing news for this family. And it changed their whole lives. It's so exciting to be able to share good news, isn't it? When you get to be the one that shares the good news, isn't that fun? It's exciting. Friends, there are people all around us in our daily walks and the people we interact with that are in dire need of some good news. They're in need of hope. They're in need of forgiveness. They're in need of comfort. God chooses you to share the good news. He calls every single one of us to be bearers of good news. Just like those shepherds 2,000 years ago, when they got the good news, they were out telling everybody they could find. I think that's our challenge today as we prepare for the second coming of Jesus. Who is it that we can tell about our loving Savior who sacrificed so much for us? Who is it we can tell about the hope we have in a second coming? Who is it we can tell about the hope that we have beyond the grave here, about the hope in eternity with Jesus in heaven? Who is it that we can tell? Who is it that God has put in your path to share that good news with? I challenge you at least a couple times a year to share your faith with somebody, to be the person that gives someone an invite to church, to be the person that gives someone an invite to one of our Bible study series. It's your lucky week. We have one coming up in February with John Bradshaw. You have something you can invite someone to. You have something you can invite someone to tonight, 6:30 tonight. You have something here that you can invite somebody to that will help point them to their Savior Jesus. It's a song we're going to close with. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up and sing. The song is Go Tell It on the Mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the challenge of the shepherds, to go tell it everywhere that we can that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we truly believe that there is something beyond this life, that there is something better than this, that there is a Savior, that he's coming to take us home someday, that's a message worth sharing. That's a joyful message that can change people's lives. Let's take that challenge and sing about it. Let's stand together and sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Tonight we'll be celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a good time to sit back and remember just how fortunate we are that somebody loves us that much. And this Christmas season, I'm thankful that God cares enough about me and you that he would give up being in heaven, that he would give up listening to those angel choirs, that he would give up everything to be born a tiny little baby, to start the process for your salvation and mine. This Christmas season, I'm thankful for baby Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, help this Christmas season to be surrounded by thankfulness for us. Thank you for these reminders of the sacrifice that you made for us. And Lord, may our thankfulness be shown in the radiance of our faces and the thankfulness and the joy we have in our relationship with you. Help that to be noticeable by the people we're around so they'll ask us why we're so joyful and happy, and we can share because we have you in our lives and we have hope in you. Lord, give us opportunities to share our faith with the people around us. Lord, help the lessons from the shepherds in the Bible to be things we can apply to our lives so that the message of your hope and your salvation, your resurrection, the message of our eternity with you in heaven is so close and near and dear to our hearts that we share it just like the shepherds shared the message of your first coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.